This is a podcast about skin in menopause from top to bottom.
Estrogen plays a huge role in the health of female skin. But can you imagine vaginal microneedling as well? We call it vaginal microneedling.
Really?
With all of these beautiful ingredients like hyaluronic acid. Jou vel is 'n diagnostiese orgaan. So dit wat binne in jou liggaam aangaan, gaan buite op jou vel wys. Dis verseker. What I find very freeing is that we speak openly about it, you know, and we struggle together.
This is a Baby Brunch podcast.
I'm even choking up having to talk about the fact that when we started this podcast, I was having a baby. That was 10 years ago.
Ew.
This year, 11. And now I'm in perimenopause. And I'm still loving my support for family and babies. But time moves on. And when it comes to our seasons, I think it's so wonderful that we can talk about it. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. And it's like you say, people go through various seasons and there's this feeling of nostalgia, you know, what your experiences was many years ago and the season we're in now. It's not so great, but perhaps we should talk about embracing it.
Mm. Well, today we're going to talk about more than just embracing menopause. We're talking about our skin and menopause. You probably enjoying this conversation on Baby Brunch. Stay where you are. A quick thanks to our support. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life. This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages. Dr. Judy Pretorius is a biomedical scientist. She's a skincare expert. Well, how's she going to help us here today? I'll tell you where her passion lies. With a PhD in pharmaceutical chemistry and an advanced diploma in dermal aesthetics, she's a leader in skin regeneration, wound healing, and anti-aging innovation. And today we're saying, well, we've got menopause or we might be going into perimenopause, but bring our skin back. Bring our skin back as we are moving through all the life stages. So you're helping many women rejuvenate. So you're making it better.
We are going to talk about a top to bottom approach today because the problems is not just only, you know, the face, neck and décolleté and all the gravitational problems that come along with that, but definitely the bottom part, vaginal atrophy, which is also known as vaginal dryness. So let's cover all grounds today.
Well, I'm excited and I'm definitely ready. There's a podcast that we did last year that was about menopause. And we went into the coaching space where we said, we've got help for you. We can support you. For our listeners and our viewers that haven't listened to that podcast just yet on babybrunch.co.za, from a derma perspective, what does menopause look like?
Well, the thing is, you lose a little bit of estrogen and progesterone and even a little bit of testosterone. And people don't realize, but estrogen plays a huge role in the health of female skin. It plays a role in elasticity. And the best way for me to explain this, like in the middle layer of your skin, which is known as the dermis, there's literally something in your skin that looks like a sponge, you know, like a cushion. And unfortunately, as we lose estrogen, this cushion-like structure, the collagen and the elastin fibers, starts to deplete and disorganize. And what people don't know is that the human skin physically weigh anything between 7 to 10 kilos. And if you lose this plunginess, the sponginess of those collagen and elastin fibers, the actual weight of the skin remains, but the structure is gone. So this is where the term sagging comes from. You cannot escape it.
But surely, doctor, we can just go out there and hydrate by drinking loads of water to keep the spongy derma hydrated. You experts just want to sell us collagen.
It's true. We want to sell you collagen. We want to sell you all the products in the world, but I can guarantee you, you know, some of these things really work. And people feel so overwhelmed when they look at the cosmetic industry because you can buy cosmetic products everywhere.
Everywhere.
And every single label tells you, listen, this is for anti-aging. This is for dry skin. But the secret when it comes to menopausal skin is that all of a sudden when you were in your 20s and your 30s, it is advised that, listen, try to use hyaluronic acid, for instance, at concentrations of about 1% to 1.5%. But now you're menopausal, so the moisture retention is less. So all of a sudden, the strategic approach now changes. And now we need 3%, 4%, 5% of hyaluronic acid, depending on where we are in our menopausal cycle. So definitely concentration-wise, in terms of ingredients that we were used to and that we know is definitely going to help us retain moisture, is necessary, but now at higher concentrations, without a doubt.
This is a podcast about skin in menopause from top to bottom. And if you have ever looked at any label on shelf and said, I'm really confused as to which skincare product I need to use because there's so much available, well, Doctor is here to tell us exactly what will rejuvenate and hydrate your skin, especially if you are in perimenopause and in menopause. Doctor, so what role does collagen play?
Well, collagen, like I indicated before, plays a role in elasticity of the skin. So in other words, if I pinch my skin now, I would like my skin to jump back to its original state. But as people grow older, you pinch the skin and it remains in that pinched state. So that already tells you there's a lack of collagen. So yeah, elasticity is still there with you. I can see it's still good. It's still good. It's not all bad. But you know, if you have a look at certain elderly people, they bump their arms and then you see, yo, it looks like they were in some domestic violence. The bruising is intense. It's very, very intense. And that's indicative of the fact that they have lost the collagen. So not only does it play a role in the sponginess and the elasticity of the skin, but it protects our veins and our arteries. It protects us against severe bruising as well. And unfortunately, and it's very sad to say, when a female goes through menopause, she ages 30% faster than normal over a period of 5 years. So it means that really it's a case, and yes, like you say, maybe this is a selling pitch, but it's true. You age 30% faster than normal. So you have to do what you have to do to protect your skin in the intensity and the reservation of moisture that you can during that period of time to make sure that the integrity of the human skin remains in an intact state.
Product. Let's go there. Collagen. What am I looking for? How do I know that it's a good collagen and how do I know it's a not good one?
Okay. So I love it when people rather take in collagen orally. So, but now the thing is, people get so frustrated because now they have to drink all the vitamins and minerals during the day, plus a collagen drink, plus a pre and probiotic, and it just like, it defeats the process and, you know, people just give up completely. Try to find a collagen drink that contains all the vitamins and minerals that you need for the day, plus a good pre and probiotic, plus, of course, the collagen fibers, you know, typically a collagen type 1 and a collagen type 3. It doesn't really matter if it's a plant-based or an animal-based or marine-based. It doesn't matter. Just get in a good collagen type of drink.
Vinnige vraag. Kan 'n mens dit weer terugkry? So sê nou ek is 'n ouer dame of 'n ouer man en ek besef dat my kollageen is laag. Is dit herwinbaar? So as ek ouer is, kan 'n mens dit terugbring heeltemal?
Weet jy wat die vinnige antwoord is? As ek en jy vandag bietjie gym toe gaan, of miskien moet ek eerder sê as ek vandag 'n bietjie gym toe gaan, dan gaan ek tog beter lyk na 'n week, 2 weke, 3 weke,
reg?
As ek regtig die tyd insit. En is die selle met gesonde velsorg. As jy 'n proaktiewe stans inneem en nou begin bestanddele inkorporeer, het sy oraal wat jy inneem, of topikaal, 'n goeie gesonde velsorgroetine in die oggend sowel as in die aand, dan kan ek jou kategories waarborg dat jy 'n daadwerklike resultaat gaan sien op jou vel. Gaan jy wees soos 'n jong babietjie lyk like met die kontoure en die elastisiteit van 'n jong babietjie?
Nee. Waarskynlik nie.
Maar ons gaan nie, ons is ook realisties, maar die elastisiteit sal terugkom. Jou vel is ook 'n orgaan wat jou beskerm. So wat doen jy om die beskermer te beskerm? So bring in daai bestanddele om jou orgaan, jou vel wat jou beskerm, te help om daai rol in te neem om jou liggaam, die ander organe ook te beskerm.
What are some of the common changes that happens in menopause to the skin? So I know that we said dryness, dullness, loss of elasticity, but I mean, immediately I am only imagining my face. What happens to my knees?
You know, there are actually multiple things that happen. It's not only the dryness. There's, of course, the sagging, very profound sagging. Let's talk about the eyelids. You know, many people struggle with that hooded eyelids. That's usually where it starts. Mm. Then you apply a little bit makeup at the top of the eyelid and the bottom of the eyelid and then at the top because it's really a hooded eyelids and it actually encloses the eye even more. You get the turkey neck waddle. Of course, you get the sagging at the elbows and, you know, the knees and so forth. But, you know, how bad can it be if you're an adult now in your 50s and now all of a sudden you struggle with acne? So many of these females struggle with adult acne as well. Even acne on the back called bacne. Mm. Then another type of condition and concern that comes to play is, of course, pigmentation. No one likes pigmentation, but this time around, it's a different type of pigmentation called melasma. Now, melasma is the same type of pigmentation that a female gets when she's pregnant. She gets this line on the tummy, the linea nigra line. It's the same type of melasma pregnancy mask that you get, but now not because you're pregnant.
No.
Because you're going through menopause. So acne, pigmentation, dry skin, and a lack of elasticity.
What happens to the vagina skin?
Well, anywhere and everywhere where you have collagen, that is where we're going to have a lack of elasticity. So the vaginal uterine lining contains collagen and elastin fibers. And usually when you lose that collagen, you lose natural water retention like hyaluronic acid. And that's why females experience vaginal atrophy,
dryness.
The same happens even in the eyes. We have collagen in our eyes and many females struggle with dry eyes. So they need some form of lubrication like hyaluronic acids, for instance, or vitamin E's and so forth. And just as we use these type of ingredients on our face, you can use it on the vagina as well. And you can even get eye drops that contain hyaluronic acid to lubricate the eyes even more.
And of course, we always say consult a healthcare professional. And this podcast is here to guide you with our experts. So kom ons vat terug na die wat dit weer moet hoor. Wanneer dit kom by menopause, as ons sê dat mense vel gaan agteruit, watter dele van 'n mens se liggaam word beïnvloed?
Weet jy, niemand gaan van my hou na hierdie potgooi nie. Want letterlik alles gaan agteruit. En ek weet dit klink hard, maar kom ons ruk die pleister af. Daar gaan 'n tekort wees aan elastisiteit, so dit gaan bietjie meer gedefinieerd wees. So die vel hang, jy kry hierdie regte kalkoen nek en 'n tekort aan vochtretensie, so die vel is droog. Baie mense sukkel ook natuurlik met pigmentasie en akne, maar oralste waar jy vel het, tot jou kopvel, jou oë, jou vaginale uterus, orals verloor jy ongelukkig elasticiteit en natuurlik vochtretensie en dit is wat ons sê, van kop tot tone, sukkel vrouens ongelukkig as hulle tydens menopause gaan. Wat problematies is, haarverdunning, haarverlies is ook nogal 'n groot probleem waarmee vrouens sukkel tydens menopause.
Die simptome laat 'n mens voel asof daar geen hulp is nie. Maar daar is.
Ja, ek moet nogal sê, ek het dit laat klink asof, jy weet, mens moet nou opgee. Maar dit is meer 'n geval van, jy berei voor vir oorlog. En miskien is menopause ons oorlogsveld hier, so ons gaan oorlog doen. Ons gaan nou kyk wat ons kan doen om hierdie geveg te wen. En die geveg is, ons weet ons moet gaan kyk na topikale bestanddele wat hoër is in konsentrasies. 3% hyaluron hier, vitamine E, emoliante, met ander woorde produkte wat bietjie meer ryk is, soos jou shea butters en natuurlik die vitamine E het ek genoem. Moenie bang wees vir retinoïese suur nie, want dit is jou teenverouderingsbestanddele, vitamine C is ensovoorts, ceramide, peptide, groeifaktore, doen wat jy moet doen. Moenie bang wees ook, en ja, ek gaan dit sê, om 'n bietjie van 'n geldjie te spandeer, want dit gaan kos dat 'n mens moet gaan belê in jou vel. Want in die tyd wat jy deur hierdie menopause probleem is of siklus gegaan het, gaan jy nie spyt wees nie, ek beloof jou.
Sien tog jou dermatoloog, ek het 'n wonderlike aanhaling gesien nou die dag wat sê my skin is not a playground, which means don't come and mess and just do anything, you know. So while we trial and error, we always say consult your experts like yourself, doctor. And that's why I'm enjoying this conversation. So if we're saying we're going for a healthier skin, we want to take precaution. I'm going into perimenopause and therefore I want to make sure that when I hit it, man, I hit it hard and I'm ready for the dryness, the itchiness, the flakiness, the aging. And we're going to make mini podcasts about that too. But what are we looking for in terms of ingredients? If I want to change my skincare regime and look after menopausal skin, what am I looking for?
So the do's and don'ts for sure. Let's start with the don't. If the human skin can speak to you during menopause and you actually interviewed the human skin itself now, the human skin will tell you, listen, if I go through menopause, I don't want any ingredients that or any products that contains fragrances, dyes or colorants. So that's the first thing that we need to take note of. Then that you know that the human skin is also known as an acid mantle. So it means that it wants to be between a pH range of 5 to 5.5. So you cannot afford to use any products that are at neutral or an alkaline levels because these are the ingredients that's going to make you age faster. I promise you. Then we're talking exfoliation. You get three types of exfoliation. You get a mechanical exfoliation, which is like a scrub or a bead, for instance. Then you get a chemical exfoliation that contains an acid.
Like a peel.
Right. Salicylic acid or glycolic acid or lactic acid. Think Cleopatra. She bathed in milk, but actually it was lactic acid.
Right.
So there are so many ingredients, and the last form of exfoliation is enzymatic exfoliant. When you use a product that contains an enzyme in there that exfoliates the skin. So during menopause, I insist, please, only use chemical and enzymatic exfoliants because some of those beads and scrubs, sometimes we use a little bit more elbow grease and then we cause fine microscopic cuts, which means we increase the inflammation. And if you increase inflammation, inflammation equals premature aging. So we're not going to do anything that causes unnecessary inflammation. So ingredients, if we stick to those do's and don'ts, the ingredients that we can use, if they are pH balanced and if they are free of any colorants and dyes, are vitamin E, because it's a very powerful antioxidant, hyaluronic acid, vitamin C, without a doubt, ascorbic acid, retinoic acids, but only at nighttime.
Your vitamin A.
Yes, vitamin A. And then it can be in like a delivery system, like in a moisturizer or a serum delivery system that's quite rich. Don't be scared of a more rich type of viscosity, like shea butters and coconut oils and peptides and ceramides and these type of things.
You work in this field, and as a scientist, Doctor also is the founder of Biomedical Emporium. These are products that you make.
Absolutely, yes.
So now, I feel like I should do a quick fire, you know? Are you ready for some quick fire?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in menopause and I'm using all these rich, amazing creams and retinol at night, and I give it to my younger teens and tweens to use.
So even if they're young, you can expose them to retinoic acids, but just warn them that it can cause an irritation. And the rule of thumb is if you experience that, just reduce the frequency of use.
Menopause is a curse.
I'm on the fence with this one because, you know, poor woman, we have to shave our legs. We have to go through a menstrual cycle. Now there's the lack of menstrual cycle. I don't know. It's a tough one for me, I must say.
Well, doctor, you don't have to shave your legs. And you don't have to shave under your arms. And have you seen the beautiful videos on free bleeding? You put a pillow down and some towels and you sit at your desk on your laptop.
Yeah, maybe that's what the cavemen did back in the day.
Surely we should have a sense of humor about this because it is bloody tough.
It is tough, but you know what I like is shame. Poor females before us, they kept it all to themselves.
It was a very lonely journey, yeah.
It was a very lonely journey. And I think what I find very freeing is that we speak openly about it, you know, and we struggle together. And, you know, there's this saying, the person who's going to live to the age of 200 has already been born. So what if it's you and me, which actually means that menopause is going to be so much longer.
Yeah, because once you're in
we
it,
live
you're
longer.
In it. Yeah.
And so I don't think we have a choice but to share with each other and share ideas and hardships and even, you know, breakthroughs when it comes to menopause.
What about Botox? Will it eventually not work anymore because the elasticity in the skin doesn't play along?
Well, there's some good news. Luckily, Botox or botulinum toxin is something that works in facial muscles only. So it doesn't depend on a lack of collagen and so forth. But yes, it will work. I always like to tell people don't go too frequently because, you know, sometimes if we go too frequently for botulinum toxin type of injections, eventually your body starts building antibodies against it. So yes, then you go for a Botox injection, but it doesn't work. But there's another thing that you can go for, which is called a dermal filler or a biostimulator. Later, where you physically get that hyaluronic acid that I've been talking about the whole day and you physically inject it into the skin. And some of the gaping volumes like the nasolabial folds or even under the eyes, the droopiness under the eyes and so forth, you can inject filler and it gives you more volume and it also helps a little bit with elasticity.
What about hot flushes? Surely heat and skin go together. Skin doesn't like heat.
Absolutely. Hot flushes is a big problem. So the human skin, just like the liver and the kidneys, is also known as a detoxifying organ. So you literally get rid of all sorts of toxins when you perspire and you sweat. The problem with that is if you and I physically measure the pH of our sweat, we will see it's either neutral or even alkaline because it's not only water, but there's other toxins that physically come out during that time. So early on, I said that the human skin is known as an acid mantle, but now there's sweat on your skin that's at a different pH, which now becomes an irritant, a stimulant, and even as bad as an allergen. So a remedy that I can advise, if you struggle with this perspiration, just have a wet wipe handy and, you know, wipe the unnecessary sweat off your skin. Or you get even fine spritz. Like it's a very fine spritz with a fine spritz spray pattern that you can spray on top of your makeup just to cool the skin down and even bring your skin back to a lower pH again.
What about makeup during menopause when you're already having hot flushes? Should we not just ditch the foundation?
Sometimes, you know, you will probably don't have a choice to ditch the foundation purely because of the fact that when you perspire, it just looks quite bad. So you can look at something like a tinted moisturizer, which if you perspire, it kind of lingers and sticks to the skin in a much better fashion and way that it doesn't really look like something is drooling.
Doctor, I know that you're all about the derma. You love the skin. Does what we put in our mouths, the food, the nutrients, supplements, does that change anything on the derma? Moet ons ons dieet aanpas as ons voel ons is nou in perimenopause of selfs in menopause?
Wel, ek is seker daar is mense wat wil sê, ek hoop sy sê nee, maar die antwoord is definitief ja. Jou vel is 'n diagnostiese orgaan, so dit wat binne in jou liggaam aangaan, gaan buite op jou vel wys, dis verseker. Nou, daar is sekere goed wat ons inneem wat regtig nie goed is nie. Die heel eerste ding is suiker. As jy kan in jou suikerinname ten minste heel wat kan verminder tydens menopause, gaan dit regtig 'n groot verskil maak, want suiker veroorsaak baie sistemiese inflammasie. En dan sukkel jy nie net met menopause nie, ewesklik sukkel jy met artritis en sulke tipe van goeters ook. En daarmee saam wil ek nog 'n guns vra, hou op rook, want rook is iets verskrikliks. Ek kan nie eers beskryf nie, jy weet, vaskulariteit, met ander woorde die sirkulasie van bloedvaatjies na jou vel toe, wat lewe gee vir jou vel, gaan net eenvoudig dood by rokers. So as jy nuwejaarsvoorneme het, asseblief, hou op rook, want rook, menopause en suiker is nie 'n mooi kombinasie nie.
And just to summarize for our English listeners, I mean, Dr. just said it beautifully, but sugar causes inflammation. And so we're saying in perimenopause and in menopause, we're trying to eat less sugar. If you had to give advice to anyone listening that needs a rejuvenation strategy, and this can include to even see your dermatologist, you know, a lot of the times it's quite interesting. So a while back I fell ill and all the surgeons want to rock up, you know, but none of them have consulted the dietitian or, you know, a GP or just sleep.
Yes.
You know, like I was like, you're not cutting on me. Neither are you. No, 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 no. And then eventually I ended up at a dietitian and we managed to fix it through food. Now, I'm not saying that all things are being able to fix through food, but if you could give us a list of people and pauses in our menopause to visit, what would it look like?
Well, you know, it's true. It's we don't want to go find problems that doesn't really exist. And personally, for me, there's nothing more rewarding to help someone easily. So we don't need complex answers. Perhaps the lifestyle that we were used to now needs to change. And it doesn't need to change dramatically. It can be, for instance, if you were used to only a once-a-day skincare routine, now I'm going to ask you for a twice-a-day skincare routine. And if you only used to maybe like botanical extracts and something smelling so good in your skincare products, maybe we're going to put that aside for a while and incorporate ingredients that's not necessarily going to cause unnecessary inflammation. Mm. And this is not only just what we apply topically on our skin, is we're going to also stop using or eating or drinking things that's going to cause systemic inflammation. Because if we can cut out the inflammation, that's really going to make a huge difference. Sugar, for instance. And then we spoke of earlier on, you know, we lose estrogen. Many people think, oh, now I have to go on hormone replacement therapies and so forth. But you can actually find inside a cosmetic product estrogen, which we call a phytoestrogen, phyto meaning we've extracted from a plant, that mimics estrogen, and you can put it inside a topical product. So in other words, all those estrogens that your skin really needs to perform at its best, now we change our skincare a little bit and we incorporate the phytoestrogen with vitamin E and hyaluronic acid and maybe even a sprinkle here or there with vitamin B3 like niacinamide. And if you apply stuff like that on your skin daily, whether it's in your eyes, whether it's on your face, your neck, your décolleté, or even on your vagina. It's
what's going a décolleté?
Décolleté is the chest area.
Okay, the chest area. So just above the boob. So doctor showing me, so it's just above a nipple for the... And vaginal area, would you then... So who would you consult if you need to create comfort in the vaginal area? Would that be a dermatologist?
A dermatologist, but... Don't underestimate all these aesthetic practitioners.
Right.
Because what we've been talking about, yes, there's a dermatology undertone for sure. But many aesthetic practitioners now specialize in this.
Right.
You know, and they do certain, we call it intimate treatments.
Right. I mean, and intimate would be vaginal and anus.
Yes, vaginal and anus. And listen to this, a bit of a shocker. But, you know, we spoke of earlier you lose collagen and elastin fibers. So there's a treatment that you can go for that's known as CIT, collagen induction therapy, which is nothing other than microneedling. Now, I know people say, oh, microneedling is very painful.
Where would you microneedle, doctor?
Microneedle on your face, your neck, and the chest area, your décolleté.
Right.
But can you imagine vaginal microneedling as well? So many aesthetic practices does exactly that. Because I said you have a lack of collagen fibers, so you go do gentle microneedling. We call it vaginal microneedling.
Really?
With all of these beautiful ingredients like hyaluronic acid. And it works. So in other words, if you do gentle microneedling or even a chemical peel at the vaginal area, it works so much faster. And people would say, oh, that sounds like it's going to hurt. Or even a chemical peel, that's going to sting a lot. But the vaginal pH is 3.8 to 4.2. In other words, it's even more acidic than the human skin. So if you do treatments there, it's not going to be painful, it's not going to sting, and it is going to work.
My mouth's hanging open. What do you like most about what you do?
What's rewarding for me is the human skin is a very public organ. Mm. So it has a direct impact on your self-esteem. And if you do something small for someone, their self-esteem just boosts. And how else can it not feed my ego as well?
Well, doctor, you fed more than our egos today. We definitely feel empowered. And we want to thank you, Dr. Judy Pretorius, our biochemical scientist that joined us in our studio for Parent and Baby Brunch. You are an asset to the world.
Thank
you. Not hyaluronic acid, as in susabata.
You're an asset. Think of me as your hyaluronic acid.
You're an asset to the world. We appreciate your time today. And thank you so much for opening up about perimenopause and menopause.
Thank you. It was a real honor.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast. A quick thanks to our support. This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.